A programming note, just a reminder to the faithful Presbyterians of First Presbyterian Church. The pastor who is preaching on a given day picks the hymns and picks them by the words in them, not the music. So don't seek Charlene out later telling her that a certain hymn, like the second one, might be difficult to sing. She already knows that. She wasn't the one surprised by it this morning. Today we turn our thoughts to the story of the birth of the church. Today is Pentecost. It's a familiar story. It's a beautiful story, a wonderful story of those moments in Jerusalem when a group of confused and not altogether successful men became the core of the church. And when rapidly the good news of Jesus Christ began to move out into the world. So revisit that story with me, if you will. We're in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Listen in God's word for God's word to us today. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, like a sound of blowing violent wind, came from heaven, filling the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of those who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that each of us hear them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" But some made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and those who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These are not drunk, as you suppose. It's 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? We revisit that story of Babel, gracious God, and we hear that they were confused and scattered, and they did not understand each other. And we must confess that these millennia later, we find ourselves in the same place. Thinking we can build our lives by ourselves. Thinking we can find heaven on our own and be our own gods. So speak to us again, gracious God, in a language we can hear. In a tongue that we understand, Continue, O God, to remake Babel with Pentecost and to remake us in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Oh, there is a temptation that you run into rather quickly as a person who gets to preach regularly. And that is that the pulpit can very easily become a soapbox. And that a sermon can easily become a rant. But I want to warn you, I'm flirting with that line this morning. I'm going to do my best to stay on the sermon side of the fence. But I'm not sure I'll get there completely. I have always liked the Pentecost story. The story of people speaking and understanding one another in the name of Christ. The birth of the church. When I think about this miracle, which scholars call Babel undone. Right? In Babel, there's confusion and languages that separate. And in Pentecost, the one language spoken in Christ brings people together. I think of a book I read as a kid. Some of you may remember Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. And in that book, there is a small yellow leech called a babelfish. And if I'm losing you, just bear with me for a minute. The babelfish is remarkable for its ability to feed on brain waves and convert them. And when a babelfish is stuck in one's ear, it allows one to instantly understand every language spoken in the universe. Which has led to two outstanding facts about the babelfish in the Hitchhiker's Guide. One, it could not have evolved naturally and thereby proves and disproves the existence of God simultaneously. And second, in eliminating all barriers of communication between people and races, has been responsible for more conflicts and wars than anything else in the history of creation. Today, at Pentecost, we celebrate the miracle of removing the language barrier. The Spirit arrived, the church was born, the gospel began its journey outward from Jerusalem to what Jesus had said would be the ends of the earth. It's a beautiful lesson that the first miracle, the birth of the church, is both public and it is universal. There's some fuzziness as to whether the miracle is the speaking of other languages or the hearing of your own language, but the truth of Pentecost is clear. The gospel is for all. The crowd gathered in Jerusalem is a Jewish crowd, but they are from all parts of the known world. Pentecost is a minor Jewish holiday called the Feast of Weeks, but it's a pilgrimage holiday, so many Jews went to Jerusalem to celebrate it. Luke says that those who gathered there were devout Jews. And yes, Pentecost doesn't go quite far enough. We will learn in the rest of the book of Acts that the church will come to understand that not only would they include Jews from everywhere, but they should be reaching out to Gentiles with the gospel. But in their defense, the diversity of those first converts to Christianity is astounding. 15 regions or countries listed, each one hearing the gospel in a native tongue, each one hearing a gospel spoken to them personally. The clear takeaway being that the good news of Jesus Christ is for all people. And that is a great place for the church to start. And because it begins there, we have been able to understand that part of the church's mission is inclusivity. Our mission, our calling in Christ is an inclusive one. No one is excluded by who they are or what they are or what they have or where they live. Color, race, and status do not matter to the church. The church offers the gospel to every person without bias. and sees every individual as a beloved child of God, even those who don't appear to be that at all. When I was in seminary, this word inclusivity was the theological word of the day. It was everywhere. Though there's some irony in that at a Presbyterian seminary, because the Presbyterian church is about 98% white and 99% middle class. But virtually every conversation about church praised inclusivity and condemned exclusivity. We were simply taught that it is the church's job to bring people, all people, and any people into the church. So the greater the diversity of any congregation or any gathering, by definition, the more faithful it was. And this model was celebrated as a Pentecost-type model, God welcoming all. And in the decades since, I have watched this approach take root and shape the direction of the church. And there are some real upsides to the pursuit of inclusivity. It has opened the church's eyes to those who have been marginalized, to those who have been ignored. It has shown the church our biases regarding who is judged rather than loved. It has helped us listen to the stories of those who have been abandoned or hurt or neglected or condemned by the church. It has shown us that there are those who have been treated as off limits or unclean, as if God's grace somehow isn't for them. And broaden the conversation about where we draw lines and how we draw lines, showing us that love and not fear is the way to build Christ's church. Inclusiveness has rebuked us and reminded us, as the Pentecostal story does, that the gospel is for all. But this year, as I reread the Pentecost story again, something occurred to me, something simple, but I think important. And it is this. While each person there in Jerusalem hears the gospel in their unique tongue, they hear the same gospel. Everything that gets preached and received that day is translation. It's not personalization. There isn't a Parthian version. There isn't an Arab version. There isn't an Egyptian version. There is the gospel. While God makes it possible for various people to hear it, what they hear doesn't change. And some don't want it. They aren't interested. They laugh it off. It's not for me. It's not because they haven't been invited. It's because they're unwilling to accept. And perhaps it seems this is an obvious insight, and it probably is. But though many hear, they hear one thing. More and more, when I hear conversations about inclusivity, I think what is meant is personalization. My gospel, my version, my story, the female gospel, the LGBTQ gospel, the conservative gospel. The good news in many cases seems to have become the good news for me, and we seem comfortable modifying the word gospel with our personal label in front of it, tending at times, in my opinion, to make the personal label more important than the word gospel. On the day the church was born, one gospel was preached. The forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ, but it was preached to all, at least it was headed that direction. Tongues and wind and flames and enough passion to be considered drunk or crazy, but they preached one gospel. They preached one truth, and from that one truth, many were included and all were invited. A seminary professor of mine used to say, you can never start with diversity and get to unity. It only works the other way. From the one truth, the church began to learn that God wanted all people to come to Christ. The Jew, the Gentile, the rich, the poor, the slave, the free, the male, the female. Later, we would learn the black, the white. Later still, the gay, the straight, the whatever. Lately, the conservative, the liberal. All have been invited. But none are invited to create their own version of the gospel, which is just for me or for us. To come to Christ, we start with Christ, where the church was born. And to Christ, we must return again and again and again to be faithful. When we start with my story, my truth, we are far more likely to miss God's truth and Christ's story. Inclusivity must be connected to faithfulness, or what is left is not the church, it's simply a diverse crowd, a bunch of wildly different people who believe their personal label is affirmed, which isn't a bad place, but it's not the church. Not the gospel. Pentecost reminds us that God has invited all to come to Christ. Now, by definition, that includes people you're not comfortable with. That includes people you don't want to go to church with. People who you think are outside the bounds, who don't fit, and who don't belong. The Fox News obsessed MAGA hat wearing ultra conservative and the Guatemalan immigrant with no money who came here legally or illegally. And guess what? The gospel of Jesus Christ is for both of them. Every bit as much as it is for you. Or for me. The church was born to include others. All of them. But to do so with the one good news of Jesus Christ. The one message we start with for all people. An invitation for any who will come to Christ. Be faithful. The church must welcome everyone, but the church cannot accept everything. We must stand on the truth that has defined us since day one, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is not that which reinforces my personal bias. It's not that which elevates my personal story as a universal truth. It's that which proclaims the truth of Christ to me. It is the truth that locates my story within God's story. On that day of Pentecost, many hearers from all over the known world with different backgrounds and lives and languages heard the disciples speak to them, heard God's invitation to them to accept the gospel, respond to Christ, and build his church. Friends, let us do the same. Let the church always be a place where the good news of Christ's love and mercy, the joy and forgiveness of Jesus, is offered to all, to everyone, where no one is pushed out or kept out. And all are invited. Be faithful to him. Amen.